It's in what, 4 days here, right? As a country, we celebrate that. How far back does that go in our country? Well, Governor William Bradford of Plymouth Colony in Massachusetts made what most would call the first Thanksgiving proclamation in 1621, right? It's almost 400 years ago. The Pilgrims had lost over half of the people they had started with. The winters were brutal, and they certainly would have died unless the Indians hadn't helped them. And they gave thanks. Not for one day, but 3 days. Ooh, that sounds good. A 3-day feast. See, they had a choice to make. They could give thanks to God that, well, they were still alive. Or they could have cursed God for all their loss and their hardship. But they chose to give thanks. And it's the same choice you and I have, right? We can have a life where we give thanks to God, or we just complain and argue and don't give thanks. Well, how does God feel about this day coming up on Thursday about Thanksgiving? Technically, it's not a religious holiday, but giving thanks and being thankful, it comes from the Bible, doesn't it? If you think about it, Christianity is a religion of giving thanks. The story we read today is about giving thanks, and also about not giving thanks. And we'll look at both of those. And I want us to, each of us, sort of to put ourselves into the story. You know, who would we be of these 10 lepers? One gave thanks, and 9 didn't. Well, Greg Strand read from the Gospel of Luke there. Let's start out. Starts out that life is not always good, is it? Sometimes life can be hard, even for pastors and missionaries, as we heard about this morning. On the way to Jerusalem, he, Jesus, we see, he encounters 10 lepers who stood at a distance, lift up their voices, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, what's a leper? A leper is someone who has leprosy. What's leprosy? In the Bible, sometimes in the Old Testament, leprosy can be a broader term for a multitude of kind of skin diseases. But I think these people, these men in the story, really had leprosy. The Greek word lepra comes from lepsis, which is scale, kind of on your skin, I guess. We also know it as Hansen's disease. Dr. Gerhard Hansen in the 1880s did a lot of research on what is this disease. It's a long-term bacterial infection that affects your nerve endings and your skin and your eyes and your voice sometimes. 1 to 2 million people in the world today still have leprosy. Mostly in Africa and India. If you remember, Mother Teresa served 40 years with lepers in India. There's no cure, not then. Now they can do a few things and kind of slow down some of the symptoms, but the damage that you have is irreversible. You don't get better. Well, these lepers stood at a distance, it said. They were required to do that. In fact, when a leper would enter a city, he or she had to wear a bell around his neck and kind of ring the bell and cry out, "Unclean, unclean," and warn everybody. Well, no one got near lepers, even their own family members. The only people that hung out with lepers were other lepers. These folks were social outcasts. They're cut off from their families, from society, from the worshiping community. They couldn't go to the temple to worship. And people looked down at them as sort of not human, as rejects, as some even thought they're being punished by God because you've got leprosy. They were sinners. And no one took pity on them. So here comes Jesus. Now the lepers cry out. Now have mercy. They realize on their way to Jerusalem, no one's going to come near them and give them money. But maybe Jesus can help. Well, you and I, thankfully, don't have leprosy, but maybe you do say, you know, but I do have problems. I have needs. Sometimes they're physical things, financial, things with your family, spiritual, emotional. We've got lots of needs, and we ask God for help, like the lepers did. God, Jesus, help me. It's interesting, we'll see later in the verses, that one of the 10 lepers was a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans didn't get along, but apparently for the lepers, those racial distinctions and barriers didn't matter. They were just in it together, needing Jesus' help. The important part is that they went to the right person for help, right? They went to Jesus. Leprosy seems like a skin disease. Well, just rub a little ointment or cream on it and it'll go away. No, it's a lot deeper than that, isn't it? It starts in the bone marrow and deep down. And then it sort of presents itself. It sort of shows up on your skin and the nerves and the insensitivity, and it kind of eats away at you. I think we have a lot of needs ourselves that are like that. We have sort of a presenting problem. They show up somehow, but the need goes a lot deeper, doesn't it, than what we would first say is my problem. Doesn't matter where it comes from. We're asking God for help. I think when we realize that we really need help, that we have needs, that we have deep needs, and that God can help, then we're going to be thankful. But if you and I are just sort of self-sufficient, I can do it all myself, then we're not very thankful. Life is not always good. Here's some good news. God is always good. What's our little phrase there? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's think about that. They're asking Jesus to help. Then when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Now let's think about this a little bit. Let's talk about God being good. God is good. That is his character, his nature, who he is. He's good. Growing up in the Loomis household, we kids each had our own night where we had to pray for dinner. We always ate dinner together, and each of us had a night to pray. it was our turn. I think mine was Thursday, if I remember right. But when we were little, we kind of felt a little embarrassed because we didn't know sort of how to pray. So we learned this little prayer. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for us our food. By his hands, we all are fed. Give us this day our daily bread. And that's the prayer that we prayed. Well, that's a pretty wise prayer because it starts out with God is great and God is good. God is great. He can do anything. He's all powerful. But what if God is great, but he's not good? He's a bad God. He's a mean God. He's an evil God. He wants to mess up your life, and there is nothing you can do about it. Well, then we're in trouble. But that's not what the Bible says, right? The Bible says God is good. Psalm 100, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Peter says the same thing in 1 Peter 2. Indeed, you have tasted that the Lord is good. I hope you've tasted that. That's an interesting way of thinking about it. Tasting that God is good. You've experienced it. You've savored it. You've enjoyed that. You've realized God is really good. The lepers were counting on that as they cry out to Jesus for help. Now, maybe they had heard stories of him as a compassionate healer. He had healed other people. Maybe somebody announced that Jesus was coming. Maybe they recognized himself. Hey, that's Jesus. Jesus responds immediately to their cry for help. Now, this time he doesn't touch the lepers or announce their healing. He says, go. And to the whole group, Jesus doesn't make distinction. He doesn't say, you know, I'm Jewish and I only heal Jewish lepers. So you Samaritan leper, too bad. No, God's good. His goodness goes to everybody. God is good and he also does good. I was pleased to see there's a verse that actually says that. Not that I doubted it, but it was really good. Psalm 119:68. You are good and do good. There we go. God, his nature is good and his acts are good. They cry out, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And Jesus does. Right? We need God's help and God answers. But sometimes not in the way we're expecting. I don't know what the lepers expected Jesus was going to do. They believed he was going to do something. He doesn't come to them. He doesn't touch them. But he tells them, leprous as they are, go to the priests. Why did he tell them that? Well, in the Old Testament, that was the normal procedure when a leper was cured. The priest sort of served as sort of a health inspector to making sure that, okay, yeah, everything was good. But it was an act of faith on their part, right? The verse said, as they went, that is, they left Jesus and they went back to their home priest, as they went, they were cleansed. Go to the priests, and if you want to look this up, it's in Leviticus 14. It gives all the details of what the person's supposed to do, what the priest's supposed to do. There's an 8-day ceremony that you go through, and after all of that, you can be reunited with your family and your friends and the worshiping community as they went. That's kind of interesting that Jesus says, now go. If I was a leper, I would kind of look and go, I still have leprosy. Should I do it or not? It says, as they went, as they obeyed, they were cleansed. I wonder how many times God doesn't work in our lives because we don't obey. We don't take his word. We don't follow what he says. And then nothing happens. Well, life is not always good, but God is good. And so it kind of naturally, logically flows that, well, God deserves our thanks then. Parents, how many of your parents have taught you that when someone does something nice for you, you're supposed to say something? What are we supposed to say? Thank you. Yeah, thank you. You're right. That's what my parents taught me too. That's pretty logical and it's good manners. But I don't know about you and the people that you associate with or go to work or out in public. Not everybody says thank you these days, do they? Some do thank God. Let's look. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. He went back to Jesus, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. See, you and I need to recognize God's blessings and don't wait for somebody else to acknowledge God. Just do it. And it says he praised God in a loud voice. He is ready to let everybody know what God has done. And it's interesting he acts with humility as well as thanksgiving. He falls on his face at Jesus' feet. And then here, like I've already alluded to, there's that little it's a whole sentence in there, part of the verse. Now he was a Samaritan. You ever wonder why sometimes you're reading your Bible and there's things in there and you go, why'd they put that in there? Just like you're writing a term paper and you just need to add words, you know, to kind of make it longer. No, the Bible's not like that. Every phrase, every sentence, every word is important. Again, Samaritan. Samaritan, they were half-breeds. They were half-Jews. And the Jews and Samaritans, they didn't get along. They didn't like them. They didn't appreciate them. And a Samaritan is the last person that you'd expect in the story to come back and thank a Jewish healer. But he did. It's interesting. Because he's healed, he can come close to Jesus now. He can come closer. He can touch Jesus. Lepers can't do that, but now this man can. I think when we're thankful, we do draw closer to Jesus. Do you ever experience that? Where you thank God for something, you acknowledge, oh God, you're the one that did this. I just want to thank you. Maybe you don't have to fall down on your face and do it. But it draws you closer to Jesus. I hope you have a regular practice of just thanking God. Sometimes it's to directly, God, thank you for this. You did this. Sometimes God works through other people and you need to thank them, right? Hey, thank you for this. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. And you need to thank people for what they've done. Is it possible to receive gifts from God, even answered prayer, like these people did? They prayed and they asked God for something, to get what you asked for, but not be thankful? Well, 9 out of 10 guys in our story, they didn't thank God. Let's read. And you can even hear the disappointment in Jesus' voice. Jesus answered, well, we're not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Right? He was the Samaritan. Jesus expresses his kind of surprise, but his disappointment. All 10 were cleansed, so they had equal motive for giving thanks, but where are the other nine? They had fulfilled their obligation to the priest, but not to God. So where were the other nine? Well, they're not here. That's the point. But why not? Well, the Bible doesn't say, but let me offer at least two suggestions why they didn't come back and thank Jesus. One was this: bitterness. They were angry at life. They were angry at God. They had been given a raw deal, and they didn't owe anything to anybody. In fact, it's about time God did something. He's waited too long. They suffered from an unfair disease. I didn't ask for this. And I'm bitter. Maybe you know people like that. Maybe you are one of those people. That you're angry at God, at life, at your appearance, at your strengths and weaknesses, at the job he's given you, at where you live. I don't know, pick a lot, anything. You're bitter. Here's what the book of Hebrews says, Hebrews 12:15. See that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. See, if you're bitter, you're not going to be thankful, are you? Bitterness. And then here's my second suggestion. It wasn't bitterness, it was busyness. They just didn't stop to thank God. They just sort of got busy and never got around to it, right? All 10 of them would have certainly realized that their leprosy was gone. It wasn't a surprise or hidden. They would have felt it. They would have seen it. And in all the excitement, you know, they want to show their family and show their friends and be reunited and kind of get back into society. And, well, you know, there were things to do and people to see and just got busy. I'm glad that in our country, at least one day a year, we stop and give thanks, right, as a country. That's a good thing. Now, certainly needs to be more than that, but I'm glad that as a whole country, we acknowledge this and thank God. I hope that you take time to do that sometime. Maybe it's you come to Wednesday night and most of the service we're going to have a microphone and people are going to stand up and tell what they're thankful for. Maybe it's what Deb and I do at our Thanksgiving celebration on that day is we go around the room and whoever's there for Thanksgiving, we're having 16 people for Thanksgiving this year, so we'll have a house full. But we're going to make everybody say what they're thankful for. That's just our tradition. You got to say what, you know, you hope you're not the 16th person at the end to have to come up with something different. But maybe you need to, you're thankful to God, but you're also thankful to a certain person or people. Maybe you just need to tell them that. You need to call them. You need to email them, text them, write them something. Thank you for this. And be thankful. Yes, I know we live in a busy world, busy schedules. There's lots to do. But if we just take time to stop and say thanks. Well, let's finish our story. We have one last verse. Whatever happened to this one leper? Jesus said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." God blesses our faith. Faith's important in the Bible, isn't it? And sometimes there's different words. We believe God. We trust God. We rely on him. We count on him. We lean on him. We have faith. We notice that we're saved by faith. Now, I want to be careful here. This is not teaching that you're saved when you say thank you. Right? That's not what this is. Saying thank you would sort of be a work, wouldn't it? Because I did something, God saved me. No, the Bible's clear in Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith." It's a gift of God, not as a result of works that we would boast about. This man, I think this passage in this story about Jesus and the lepers says, well, how does we know someone has faith? Well, we saw he came back and he praised God and he thanked Jesus. He didn't really know who Jesus was. He knew that he healed him. But he thanked him. The faith that sort of begun in a hope that, well, this Jesus would, hopefully could, heal me. And then it increased as he obeyed and went. Then I think his faith got even more strengthened as he came back and gave thanks. And it rose to such a bonding with Jesus where Jesus says, you're saved. You're whole. You're complete. Yes, the other nine were declared clean by the priest, but only one declared saved by the Son of God. We've experienced his gifts, but we not always acknowledge the giver, do we? I like receiving gifts just like anybody else. This man realized he kind of went further than just, here's what I received, but who actually gave it to me? Who was the one that healed me? It's Jesus. We're saved by faith. I think we give thanks by faith. We give thanks for the good and the bad. We give thanks when we feel like it and when we don't feel like it. We give thanks when we can see the result and even when we can't. We give thanks. I think if we can be like the leper and remember, where have we come from? And what have we received from God? And where are we going? We're going to give thanks. So there's our story this morning, where God works in our life and we give thanks. At least we should, because God deserves it. So which leper are you? I found this little ditty called The Remorse of the Nine Ungrateful Lepers. Why didn't they thank God? One man waited to see if the cure was real. One waited to see if it would last. One said he would see Jesus later. Another guy decided he really never had leprosy. One said he would have gotten well anyway. One gave the glory to the priests. One said, oh, well, Jesus really didn't do anything anyway. Another said, any rabbi could have done that. And another said, I was already much improved. Thank you. Only one out of 10 praised God and thanked Jesus. Which one are you? I know I want to, and I know that you want to be the one that praises and thanks God. So as we conclude today, let's do that. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and we're going to sing a closing song, the doxology, which basically means praise God. So we're going to do that together today. Let's praise God together.